الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول حي على السلام حي على السلام حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين لن تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون وما تنفقوا من شيء فإن الله به عليم
Never shall you attain to righteousness unless you spend out of that which you love. And whatever you spend, Allah surely knows it well. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, elucidating on these verses, says, "In the world, man has great love for wealth. This is why it is written in the interpretation of dreams that if one sees that he has extracted his liver and handed it over to someone, it signifies the giving over of wealth. This is for the reason that for the attainment of real devotion and following and faith it has been stated, لَنْ تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ That never shall you attain to righteousness unless you spend out of that which you love the most. Because a large part of sympathy and compassion for creation of God requires the spending of wealth. Compassion for mankind and God's creation is the second part or half of faith. Without this, the faith cannot be complete or strong. How can a person benefit others unless he makes sacrifice? Certainly, sacrifice is essential to benefit others and to be sympathetic towards them. In this verse, لَنْ تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ It teaches and guides towards this very sacrifice. So thus spending wealth in the way of Allah the Exalted is the benchmark and standard of a person's obedience and righteousness. In the life of Hazrat Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, his standard of complete devotion to God the Almighty was such that when the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam once made an appeal upon which Hazrat Abu Bakr submitted the entire possessions of his home. It is a favor of God the Almighty upon us that He enabled us to accept the promised Messiah on whom be peace. He provided the means of our reformation in terms of our doctrines, beliefs and knowledge in light of the commands of the Holy Quran. There He also provided us the means of spiritual reformation and tranquility and the ways to achieving this in light of the Quranic injunctions. He drew our attentions towards discharging the rights of God and the rights of mankind. And He inculcated in us the spirit of sacrificing life, wealth, time, and children for the sake of the pleasure of God. He expected from every member of His Jamaat that they should transform themselves completely according to the teachings of God the Almighty. Only then can they be called true Ahmadis. Thus, we should strive to adopt our lives in accordance with His wishes and expectations. The extract I read out of the promised Messiah is an explanation of the aforementioned verse, as I have already said. God the Almighty, for our spiritual progress, draws our attention to the responsibilities of a believer. In other words, he is drawing our attention towards one of these responsibilities, which is financial sacrifice. Although this is a vast topic, but at this time, with reference to financial sacrifice, as the promised Messiah alayhi salam has expounded, financial sacrifices are a great means of fulfilling the rights of God and His creation. Thus, I will discuss with reference to the perspective of financial sacrifices as outlined in this verse, both for discharging the rights due to mankind and for the work of propagation of the faith. Financial sacrifices are essential. This is what the promised Messiah alayhi salam's extract is saying in a nutshell. In the era of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, this work was to reach its pinnacle. Today, we Ahmadis are amongst those fortunate and blessed people who are playing a part in fulfilling this mission. This is so that we can become those who attain the pleasure of God. Today, the world, out of the love of wealth and materialism, is doing goodness knows what. However, it is the impact of the teachings of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam that a large proportion of Ahmadis, for the sake of attaining the pleasure of Allah the Almighty and to propagate the faith brought by the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, spend out of the wealth which they love. If for any reason they are unable to fully discharge this financial sacrifice, they become restless and some even weep. Thus, this state of the heart and this spirit of financial sacrifice, and in fact even sometimes this spirit of giving up one's life, is proof of the fact that in this current era, God the Almighty, to further and propagate the religion brought by the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, sent the promised Messiah on whom be peace. Now the progress of Islam is destined to occur through the promised Messiah alayhi salam by God the Almighty. This is why God has instilled the spirit of financial jihad in true believers. And similarly is the case with other various forms of sacrifice. At this time, I will present some accounts. These show how in this era, Allah the Almighty instills the spirit of sacrifice in the hearts of people. This is not limited to any specific category of people or any specific country. In fact, this spirit is found amongst every people who are associated with the promised Messiah alayhi salam. God the Almighty instills this spirit in the hearts of such persons, whether they are from far-flung countries of Africa, or the people of Europe, or the people living in the islands. Amir Sa Burkina Faso has written that in the Farza city, the Sadr Jamaat said, "This year at Eid al-Adha, I did not even have enough money to have food cooked in the home. This is why we could not even think about making the sacrifice of an animal at the Eid." He said during these days, the Murabbi Sahib, the missionary, would give religious lectures on financial sacrifice. He would draw attention towards Tehreek-e-Jadid. So he said he gave 2,000 francs for blessings in the Tehreek-e-Jadid. I thought that God the Almighty would fulfill all my requirements. Such a miracle occurred that the very next day, his younger brother unexpectedly sent a large sum of money from the Ivory Coast. As a result, he was able to make the sacrifice of an animal on the Eid. Further, all the needs of his expenditure of his household were also covered. Seeing this occur in just a few hours, my faith increased. The missionary from Burkina Faso has written, a khadim bought some cotton seed and he thought that he would get by selling it. However, he could not find any customer or buyer for his crop. He felt very apprehensive and thought how would he be able to run his home without doing so. One day he went to the missionary in anxiety. The missionary advised him to spend in the way of God and Allah the Almighty would alleviate problems and difficulties. So he said also, try out this recipe and formula. Upon this appeal, he paid the chanda of Tehreek-e-Jadid. He promised that if Allah the Almighty conferred his grace and blessed him, he would give an additional 10,000. The Khadim says that as soon as the receipt was written off, Allah the Almighty provided such means that customers immediately came to him and his crop was sold out in just a few days. His income exceeded expectations and thus he gave an extra 10,000 in chanda. In another region of Burkina Faso, an Ahmadi, Laji Sahib, took the bet just in the last year. I have generally made an appeal that new converts should at least be included in some financial scheme so that the spirit of financial sacrifice is infused within them. It should not be seen at how much they increase in the chanda or the amount that they give. Simply, to inculcate the habit, every single Ahmadi should take part in financial sacrifice, in particular new converts. When his attention was drawn that he should give even 1 pence or 1 franc. This new convert gave attention. The custom in that area is that the people there live in villages and are farmers and they get by through selling their crops. So instead of giving an amount of money, they give their produce and grain by way of sacrifice. When handing this over by way of financial sacrifice, they request the Jamaat to give them sacks so that they can fill it with their produce and grain and give it over. So the missionary or the administration gave him 2 empty sacks for this very purpose. He thought that I have just become an Ahmadi. I have been a Muslim my entire life. I have never given chanda before. Now the Khalifatul Masih of the time says that most certainly everyone should partake in giving chanda. So let me see what the benefit of this is. Thus, he gave grain and produce worth 22,000 francs. The following year, his crop yielded double from the previous year. Thus, the following year, he asked for sacks to fill grain and produce twice the amount. Amir Sahib Liberia relates, a missionary was on a tour of Cape Town County. En route there is a Jamaat. He gave him the message that he would arrive there at Maghrib time. But the following Jamaat after that, where there is a large proportion of Ahmadis, which is very active and who regularly give janda, and thus he spent more time there than he had anticipated. He thought that this Jamaat is normally a weaker Jamaat in terms of giving financial sacrifices also. So although he had said he would arrive at Maghrib, because the Jamaat he was visiting previously was larger, and he had more engagements there as a result, so he was delayed in visiting the following village, and he arrived there at Isha. When he arrived, he said he saw for the first time that 170 people were sat waiting for him. They said that we are waiting for you. You said that Khalifatul Masih has said that everyone should take part in this janda, so all of us are sitting here waiting to give the janda of Tehreek-e-Jadeed. So this is the spirit of the members of the Jamaat when an appeal was made to them. It was assumed about some people that they may be weak in giving financial contributions and chanda. However, when an appeal is made in the correct manner and its importance is explained, the significance of financial sacrifice is expounded and the responsibilities are outlined. When all of this becomes clear, then people become ready to make financial sacrifices. If there is any weakness, if there is weakness in the Jamaat's Nizam, there is no weakness in the faith of people with the grace of the Almighty Allah. Amir Sahib Liberia has written that in a village a new Jamaat has formed. There is no road, not even a mud path, only a very rough pathway. One has to cross over bridges made of tree trunks to pass through the rivers and canals. The local Mu'allim went there on a visit. It was a new Jamaat. They were told about financial sacrifice and Tehreek-e-Jadeed was introduced to them. It was said that they would return the following week. The people there said that indeed we are a far-flung Jamaat, we live in a jungle and we are a poor community, but you do not need to trouble yourself by visiting here again. Whatever we are able to give, we are going to give towards financial sacrifice, chanda and Tehreek-e-Jadeed, because we have understood its significance. So take it all now, rather than putting yourself into so much difficulty to pass through this arduous pathway again. Thus see how Allah the Almighty is inspiring the hearts of people in far-flung areas. Who are still new to Ahmadiyyat. They have not yet fully understood its teachings and its significance. Yet from the very first day they are enhancing in their financial contributions. Amir Sahib of Benin writes that an Ahmadi from Porto Novo, Mashudi Sahib, gave a sacrifice of more than £1,000. This is a huge thing in the countries of Africa to give this amount. The missionary said that you are giving so much for this Tehreek-e-Jadeed. There are also other chandas, such as Waqf-e-Jadeed and others. He said, there may indeed be other chandas, but I will not slacken them. Allah the Almighty will provide me the means to give to those also. So this is the spirit which is being developed in these people. Our missionary also acted in the correct way by giving him this advice, because the purpose is not just to collect an amount, it is to infuse that spirit which is of sacrifice and financial giving, so that one can purify the soul through it. Recently, as usual, the Khatm-e-Nubuwwat conference, which is held annually in Rabwa and also here. First of all, a Maulvi gave zealous speech that the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat is being supported and funded by major powers, that is why it is progressing. But after a short while later, Allah the Almighty calls for the statement to be revealed from his same tongue. He said that the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat is progressing because even the poor of the community make financial sacrifices. It is their chanda which is enabling them to preach Islam in the world, which they are far surpassing us in. Neither do we need the need, or nor do we take from any government. It is the sincerity and devotion and the spirit of sacrifice of the members of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat through which Allah the Almighty infuses blessings. From Benin, our missionary from one of the regions writes, the new Ahmadi Darbiti Forum was held. The historical context of Tariq-e-Jadid was explained and financial sacrifices and their importance was outlined. Afterwards, individuals gave their contributions. One person says, I have no amount of money, but I desire to give chanda. The local missionary then guided him and said that you can give whatever you are capable of. This person was very poor. He went home, he took 2 eggs from a hen and said, this is what I have. It was said to him and to the Jamaat that according to his capacity, this is a huge sacrifice, and in the eyes of God, no sacrifice is small, just the intention should be sincere. So these are the incidents occurring in the far-flung countries in Africa. These draw our attention to the time of Hadrat Musleh Maud, when poor women would bring hens' eggs after a financial appeal was made and give it as a contribution. They did so because they had the passion and zeal to propagate the message of Islam. There is a report from Mali. An old Ahmadi Abu Bakr Jadi Sahib stopped paying chanda for some reason and he gradually stopped coming to Jamaat programs. They tried to explain to him considerably but it had no effect. After some time, one day he came to the mission house and gave his chanda. He said, at night he saw in a dream that he was drowning in very deep water. There was no one there coming to save him. During that time he sees a boat in which the promised Messiah alayhi salam is boarded. The promised Messiah grabbed his hand and placed him beside him in the boat. The promised Messiah said, never be slack in giving chanda again. After this dream he made a strong pledge with the Jamaat that he would never show negligence in giving chanda, nor would he ever show negligence in Jamaat activities. So where on the one hand this is proof of the importance of chanda, there on the other hand it is also evidence of the truthfulness of the promised Messiah. This is a far off country, and this is a far flung place within this country. In it, a person accepts Ahmadiyyat. He moves away for a time, and then, through a dream, he is guided once more. In the Kotono zone of Benin, a da'i lillah, one who calls or invites towards Allah, Shafi Irsa Sahib relates. When he went to collect fitrana, he went to one of the houses. He asked from the head of the household to give fitrana. He received the reply, in my entire house I have 15,000 franc sifa. In a few days, my wife is about to deliver a child. I need 4,500 franc sifa for that. And just today, my landlord came to ask for 3,500 franc sifa by rent. He left angry because I could not pay it. I have nothing to give. So the local secretary, Shafi Sahib, explained to him. Although in such circumstances it should not have been said to him to give anything, but in any case, explanation was given to him according to his circumstances, that if even in such a situation you give in the way of Allah, it will bear fruit. Indeed, In such circumstances, our missionaries there should help such people. But nonetheless, the following incident and account tells how Allah the Almighty helps those who enter the Jamaat of the Promised Messiah, and how Allah the Almighty honors His word. When the local secretary said that Allah would help him, and that sacrifice made in the way of God will result in a large reward, he thus gave 1,000 francs Difa Fitrana and 500 in Tahriq-e-Jadid. 3 days had not passed when this same person happily related that when you collected the chanda from me, a person came to me after. He handed me 10,000 francs Sifa, telling me that it had been sent from such and such person, who at one time had borrowed 12,000 francs Sifa as a loan from me. Despite my repeated requests for him to return it, he would not do so. But now, without asking for anything, after giving the chanda, Allah the Almighty instilled within the heart of the person who had this debt, and thus he repaid the loan. I was unable to pay the rent to my landlord. My wife's delivery also was very successful, and I was also granted with a child. An Ahmadi from Darul Salam, Tanzania, Isa Sab, relates the following. He accepted Ahmadiyyat in the 1990s. Previously, he was connected to the Christian faith. After accepting the Ahmadiyyat, he progressed in his faith. Now, with the grace of Allah, he is a Musi and he makes financial sacrifices. He always gives chanda of his and his family beyond the pledge he makes, and he discharges Jamaat teachings far surpassing the old Ahmadis. With the grace of Allah, he is a regional president of Darul Salaam, Tanzania. He says that since I started making sacrifice in the way of Allah, I have so many blessings of Allah the Almighty which I have observed descending upon me. Such innumerable blessings have descended upon me, and as an example I should relate that I previously had one house, but now with the grace of Allah I own 3 houses. My children are also acquiring education in excellent institutions. From the Alada region, the missionary has said, once he went on a visit to the Soya Jamaat. Azur says, see how Allah the Almighty places this in the heart of children. So a 7-year-old girl, Rashida or Rashida, brought tomato, peppers and oranges and said all of this is by way of chanda for Tahriq-e-Jadid. The Sadr Sahib there said that she gives chanda each month. If her mother does not give her money to give chanda, she weeps and cries. When the Mu'allim Sahib came to collect chanda, she was at school. She saw us and went to her home, and not finding any money, she went to her farm and brought these things by way of chanda. So this is the spirit which Allah the Almighty is also infusing in children for sacrifice. A Sadr Sahib from a Jamaat in Nigeria has related, I have faced financial difficulties for some time, as a result of which I was very worried. One day I thought that for 3 months I have not given chanda. Perhaps this is the reason why I am embroiled in financial problems. So upon this I paid 3 months chanda, 9,000 naira. Allah the Almighty made it so that in the very same month I was able to sell a plot of land at a profit of 800,000 naira. At the time, my faith was greatly strengthened. There I also came to understand that God is true in His promise. If one makes sacrifice in His path, then He will most surely give in return manifold. Now in the Kogi state capital, Nakoja, he has given a very large plot of land for the Jamaat's mission house and mosque. From Tanzania, an Ahmadi writes, I have studied up to the matriculation and for some time I was unemployed. I received a job as a security guard in a gas company. I was earning 56,000 shillings. At that very point in time, I promised to God that I would pay chanda at the prescribed rate. Whatever difficulties I may face, I will not slacken in giving chanda. So that person fulfilled his pledge. He says, today with the grace of the Almighty Allah, as a result of this financial sacrifice, I am a senior field gas operator in this company. I am receiving an income of 1.5 million shillings. I have only studied elementary education up to the 10th class, but normally according to this company I would be ineligible for this position. But purely through the grace of Allah the Almighty, this is the blessings of giving chanda at a prescribed rate, that now I am holding this position. Today I continue to give chanda at a prescribed rate. So these people are enhancing in their sincerity, dedication and fidelity. And وَأَنْفِقُوا خَيْرٌ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ. That's to continue spending in the way of God. And you spend in the way of Allah because that is better for you. They understand it. They understand this secret. Allah the Almighty thus rewards them accordingly. Shahabuddin Sahib is an inspector of Tariq-e-Jadid in India. There was an Ahmadi who was the sadr of one of the local Jamaats, whose real estate business had suffered, and he was extremely worried for many months. He would phone and request prayers to be enabled to pay chanda. He also wrote to me requesting prayers. So the inspector says, one day the Ahmadi phoned me and he said that I want to meet you. In fact, he phoned and said that he was extremely worried due to his financial circumstances. So the inspector says that put your trust in God, perform two nafil voluntary prayers and then sleep. A short while later the phone rang again. The Ahmadi said, please stay awake a bit longer for me, for I am coming to meet you. When he came, he had a large sum of money in his hand. He said that whilst I was praying, a really successful businessman phoned me, who owed me a large amount of money. I had not even expected to ever receive that back, so he phoned me and said, immediately come and collect your money. Because I had intended to pay chanda, thus God the Almighty provided this means immediately. Bashiruddin Sahib is a Naib Wakil al-Mal of Qadian, who writes, a sincere Ahmadi pledged 2.5 times more for his contribution from the previous one, and then he set off for his office. A short while later, he called the Secretary Sahib of Tehreek-e-Jadid and said that after writing down this promise, as soon as I left the mosque, I was informed of more profit coming into my business. I feel this is due to special blessings of Tehreek-e-Jadid, therefore I double my pledge. Previously, I had made the pledge 2.5 times more. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, he fulfilled that pledge completely. The Murabbi Sahib of Kerala, India writes, a sincere Ahmadi of a Jamaat in the previous year gave his Tariq-e-Jadid double the amount of the previous contribution. And this year he also increased his contribution extraordinarily. The missionary relates that 7 years ago he started a business with just 30,000 funds and 3 workers. Whereas now, with the grace of the Almighty Allah, he owns 8 factories of rubber, wood and furniture in India, Dubai and Indonesia, and more than 500 workers are employed by him. This is purely through the blessings of chanda, he said. He said, whenever I give chanda, then by the evening Allah the Almighty gives me manifold more. and there is no question of me ever facing financial constraints. The Naib Wakil ul-Mal in Rabwa, Talha Ahmed, relates that he went on a tour of Karachi. He appealed for Tariq-e-Jadid to a young Khadim in the Clifton area. The Khadim said that you can increase the amount to whatever you like, what shall I say? He replied that I do not know your circumstances, I only have the target for this area. You should increase the amount according to whatever you deem fit in terms of your income. He related an account to him that the Wakil ul-Mal Sahib Sindh was going on a visit, and he said the same thing to another person. So he said, do it according to your circumstances. If I say 500,000, will you give that amount? So nonetheless, this youngster then said, because you have given the example of this person and you have said 500,000, I therefore give 500,000 by way of Tehreek-e-Jadid. His child was about to be born, so he came later, and on behalf of the child, he also gave 100,000 rupees. Amir Sahib also writes in terms of how our ladies also give financial sacrifices. A lady gave her earrings as contribution to Tariq-e-Jadid. Due to financial constraints, she had already sold all her other jewellery. Her sister had very eagerly had these made and gifted these to her, and had made her promise that she would not sell them to meet any household needs. This lady then said when giving this to Tariq-e-Jadid that I have not used this for my personal needs, but to give it in the way of God. Allah the Almighty fulfills all needs, so thus may Allah the Almighty infuse blessings in her wealth and accept her sacrifice. The administration should also take care of such people. We should not compel them, and the circumstances should be kept in view. Sometimes Secretary Mal and Secretary Tariq-e-Jadid pester people. You should collect money from people in accordance with the circumstances. National Secretary Tariq-e-Jadid Jamaat Germany said, he writes regarding a friend who was in debt. He made a special pledge for Tariq-e-Jadid. Allah the Almighty increased his income to such a degree that he was able to pay off his debt. He was unable to purchase a new home, all of which seemed impossible. He says, I have lived in Germany for 35 years, but I never obtained so much income. Allah the Almighty not only removed me from being in debt, but in fact, his income also increased by 40,000 euros in just 2.5 months. The Tariq-e-Jadid secretary writes about a new Ahmadi lady convert who said that I humbly present my contribution for Tariq-e-Jadid, but no one should be informed of my name in terms of what I have given. Nonetheless, even if she does not reveal her name, it is a sacrifice. She said she only desired the pleasure of Allah. She presented a lot of jewellery and ornaments. She said that, pray that the pious sentiments I have for my son are fulfilled. May Allah the Almighty fulfill her wishes. The missionary in charge of Switzerland writes regarding a new Ahmadi. There is a gentleman who is Swiss. He took the bed last year in October. There were only 5 days remaining for Tariq-e-Jadid year to end. As soon as he entered the Jamaat, he gave an extraordinary amount of 1,000 Swiss currency. For the following year, he placed a pledge of 1,000. When during the year he came to learn of the significance of financial sacrifice, he doubled his pledge. And he also wrote a pledge of 2,000 for Waqf-e-Jadid. In the company this person works, he was given a course offer of something which is normally very expensive. It's only offered to experienced people who are over the age of 35. Now many people desired to perform this course, but they did not get the chance. He says, I am only 23 years old and not even envisaged to take this course, but the company themselves offered for me to do this course. Certainly this was the fruits of doing financial sacrifices and the blessings of God. Thus, God the Almighty also produces conviction of people here in Europe of his existence. There is another Swiss Ahmadi, Beckham Sahib, who writes, the owner of the company that I work for is very miserly and finds it very difficult to pay anyone. He pays very low salaries, and when the employees often make demands for their pay to be increased, either he ignores them or he tries to make excuses. Once this owner summoned me to his office. He said, I desire to give you a pay rise. I was shocked and said, you are normally very strict in this manner. How have you decided to give me a pay rise? Upon this, the owner says, I do not know, but it has strongly been instilled in my heart that I have not risen your pay for some time and therefore I should do so. He says, without any evident reason, I was given a pay rise. I believe this is purely and only due to financial sacrifice. Here, Nasiruddin Sahib, the regional emir of London, writes an incident of a friend. He says that an Ahmadi friend said he prayed greatly that Allah should help him in terms of Tariq-e-Jadeed. Allah placed a thought in my heart that instead of going by train to work, I should go by bus. I would be able to travel free and also be able to save a lot. Although it would take half an hour longer, but I immediately started acting upon this. In this way, I saved £2 daily, and by the end of the year, I saved £400, which I gave to Chanda Tariq-e-Jadeed. So people even think in this way. Here in London, an Ahmadi's house was robbed. However, the £1,000 he had set aside for Tariq-e-Jadeed Chanda remained safe, and he discharged it. He said, because this money which I had set aside has been saved, I am giving it for Tariq-e-Jadeed. There is a need to be careful. Nowadays, the police are asking people to be vigilant. Particularly, Asians should not keep jewelry at home. Sometimes people take more care than it is required. They lock doors and windows, and then they hide the keys. As a result, sometimes when they need to leave their homes, I have heard that sometimes the wife and children become difficult and are unable to leave the home. So therefore, over-caution is not required, but certainly do be careful. It should be within reason. The missionary in charge of Australia writes similarly, that recently it was the Ijtima of Khudama al-Ahmadiyya. There I drew attention towards Tariq-e-Jadeed to the Khuddam and Atfal. The Atfal were given prizes by way of vouchers. One Tifl, whose name was Arsalan, and also Atif and Kamran. These are names worthy of being mentioned in the Atfal. They were gifted with $89 worth of vouchers. After this appeal, these three Atfal increased this amount by $11 to $100 and immediately gave this all for Tariq-e-Jadeed. So these are just a few accounts from many accounts that I have related. These sacrifices are not being made only by the old Ahmadis, but as I have said, the new Ahmadis in Africa, in Europe, children and women as well, are making sacrifices in extraordinary ways. It is astonishing to witness the passion of sacrifice. One missionary wrote to me that some people say that when Chanda Aam is collected, why are these Chanda Waqf-e Jadeed and Tariq-e Jadeed required? The Murabbi Sahib actually wrote the answer within his letter himself, because he said the person who wrote this complaint is generally weak in Chanda Aam, he is very slack in attending the mosque, and also is among those who do not give chanda. So these are the people who then go on to complain. We should remember that most certainly chanda arm, the general chanda, is the most important and foremost. This should be given. Afterwards, according to one's capacity, tariqa jadid and waqfa jadid should be given. But to inculcate the habit amongst the new converts and also among the children and for the unearning men and women, because for them the chanda arm is not necessary to give. These appeals are for such people. It should also be made clear that in the work of the propagation of the faith, there is a lot of expansion and vastening of the scope, and this is continuously increasing. We'll most certainly have to give attention towards financial sacrifice for this, and we should do so. The odd critics here or there, which are found in some jamaats or the other, they try to poison the minds of others. I should say for their information only so much, that at this time, with the grace of the Almighty Allah, MTA has covered all the countries of the world. 10 satellites broadcast MTA. The cost of these satellites alone, in addition to the other expenditures of MTA, for example the studio, equipment, and also the staff, is so large that when we say to non-Ahmadis that our satellite channel is running without any advertisements and purely through financial sacrifices, they are stunned as to how this could be possible. Although some jamaats do give chandas towards MTA, but in comparison to the expenditure, that income is nominal and is then fulfilled through other sources of income. Similarly, now in various countries, there are studios being constructed for MTA. Then this year, just the cost of all the mosques, schools and hospital on a central, not a local level. The expenditure on a markazi or central level are practically the same as a total contribution of Tariq-e-Jadid for the last year. The Chanda Arm and Waqf-e-Jadid are separate. This is just a construction expenditure. There are many other forms of expenditure that we have to make. So this is just a cursory sketch or illustration that I have made. If people want to still raise objections, they may do so. We know that under a large organization administration, expenditure has to be made. We do make efforts to have savings and to make sure money is spent correctly. The jamaats should take further care so that we can save as much as possible, so that the work of Allah the Almighty can increase in its scope more and more, and the maximum numbers of people can benefit. As I said, Allah the Almighty places the spirit of sacrifice in the heart of believers himself. Our efforts do not count to the even smallest proportion of it. Allah the Almighty infuses this spirit because he knows what the requirements are and he prepares the means. As I said, that a person living in a far-flung country in Africa was reminded by the promised Messiah alayhi salam himself. Allah the Almighty is enabling us to have a share in these blessings. From one virtue, the route and path to other goodness continuously opens. As we are aware, the new year of Tariq-e-Jadid begins. I'll present the report of the last year and announce the new year. This was the 80th year of the Tariq-e-Jadid, which ended on 31st October 2014. According to the reports, this year, according to the reports, the worldwide contributions were £8,470,800 of sacrifice made by the Jamaat. In comparison to the last year, this was an increase of more than £600,000. Despite the circumstances in Pakistan, it maintains its position at the first rank. In financial sacrifices, Pakistan are at the forefront. They are also at the forefront of giving sacrifices of their life. May Allah the Almighty create such circumstances which grants them ease. May they receive peace and tranquility. May such a situation come about that there the Jamaat are enabled to have routes and paths of preaching to continuously open for them. After Pakistan, the first 10 Jamaats is Germany at first position, Britain at second. Last year UK was third, now they have risen to second. The US are third, Canada are fourth, India are fifth, Australia are sixth, Indonesia is at seventh. Australia has also risen one position, and Indonesia has fallen down one. Then there are some Jamaats of the Middle East, numbering two. Then there is Switzerland, Ghana, and Nigeria. In terms of increasing their contribution in view of their local currency, Ghana is at the first position. They have increased it by approximately 50% in terms of the local currency. Australia is second with 44% increase, followed by some Middle Eastern countries, increased by 17%, Switzerland increased by 15%, Pakistan are 14%, the United Kingdom are approximately 13.75%, then there is Indonesia, India and Germany, which are equal, and then Canada last amongst these 10 Jamaats. In terms of per capita contribution, USA are first, then Switzerland at second, and Australia at third. For the last few years, I have said to increase the number of contributors to Tariq-e-Jadid. Do not look at the actual increase in the amount of contribution, but there should be an increase in the contributors themselves. So with the grace of Allah the Almighty, those participating in Tariq-e-Jadid now total 1,211,700. In the last 4 years, approximately 600,000 more people have joined Tariq-e-Jadid as contributors. There are some Jamaats who are working well, such as Kababir at first, and Benin, Niger, Gambia, Senegal, Cameroon, Guinea-Conakry. In Africa, in terms of total contributions, Ghana is at first, then Nigeria, Mauritius, Burkina Faso, Tanzania, Benin, Gambia, Kenya, Sierra Leone, and Uganda. Dafter Aval, with the grace of the Almighty Allah, has 5,927 registers. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, 105 are living and all the rest have passed away. 5,822 are being kept activated by their descendants or by other sincere people. In Pakistan, the biggest sacrificing Jamaats amongst the larger ones are first Lahore, second Rabwa and third Karachi.
پاکستان کے
amongst the districts of Pakistan, the first 10, Sialkot, Faisalabad, Targoda, Gujranwala, Umarkot, Gujarat, Badi, Narawal, Dobertak Singh, Kasur, and Nankana Sahib. The first 10 Jamaats of Germany are Reutemark, Nias, Reusheim, Mediabad, Reich, Wurzburg, Dieter, Rusfeld, Nürburg, and Neid. Among the local Jamaats, Hamburg, Frankfurt, Grasgrow, Darmstadt, Wiesbaden, Mannheim, Offenburg, Düsseldorf, Weifrieden, and Wolthof, Willstedt. The first 10 Jamaats in terms of collection in the UK are Fuzzle Mosque, Worcester Park, New Malden, West Hill, Mosque West, Birmingham Central, Cheam, Raines Park, Gillingham, and Biddle for Tool at 10th position. The smaller Jamaats say that they should be mentioned, so the rank is Limiting Spa at first, then Bournemouth, Wolverhampton, Spen Valley, and Coventry. In terms of total collection, the first 5 regions of the UK are London, Midlands, North East, South and Middlesex. In terms of total collection, the first 5 Jamaats of the USA are Silicon Valley, Los Angeles East, Detroit, Seattle and Harrisburg. In Canada, among the local Jamaats, Calgary, Peace Village, Vaughan and Vancouver. In terms of total collection, the 5 Jamaats worthy of mention are Edmonton, Ottawa, Durham, Saskatoon South, Milton Georgetown and Lloydminster. The top 10 provinces of India are Kerala at first, then Tamil Nadu, Karnataka, Andhra Pradesh, Jammu Kashmir, Orissa, Bengal, Punjab, Delhi and Lakshadweep. The first 10 Jamaats in India, first Kerala, second Calicut, then Hyderabad, Qadian, Kannur town, Bengali, Sulur, Kolkata, Chennai and Bangalore. The top 10 Jamaats in Australia were Blacktown, Melbourne, Adelaide, Marsden Park, Canberra, Mount Druitt, Brisbane, Tasmania, Perth and Darwin. May Allah the Almighty accept the financial sacrifice made by all of these. May He infuse their persons and wealth with blessings profusely. And may He enable the Nizam Jamaat to spend this money properly. After the Friday prayer, I will also lead a funeral prayer in absentia. It is of our local Mu'allim and missionary Al-Haj Yusuf Adusi Sahib of Ghana. He passed away on 2nd November in the evening in Kumasi. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. In the morning of 2nd November, he went upon the invitation of the Vulhatanga region relating to guidance of the construction of the mosque, went from Kumasi to Vulga. It is quite a large distance of 500 or 600 kilometers. Then in the Tamale region, where there was a mosque being constructed for new converts, he visited this area. He would suspend the night in Tamale, but he insisted that he would return to Kumasi. Before he entered the city, he suffered from some urine problem and he wanted to pass water, but he increased in his weakness. With great difficulty, his driver helped him to lift him from the car. He then said he was suffering from stomach cramps. He said, "Quickly, let us return home." They arrived home, and instead of going into his room, there in the veranda, he lay down. He again complained of stomach pain. His family immediately took him to the hospital. He was in consciousness at his time. He said to the doctor, "Let me sleep." But when they started examining him, he took his last breath, and during this time he passed away. Upon this, the doctor said to his children, "That I did not know your father before, but seeing his death, I can say that he was a great person." On 15 December 1942, he was born in Kumasi in a Christian household. He had great and extraordinary inclination towards religion from childhood. Once in the West region with his uncle, he was studying. He said, if I receive all the attractions and the wealth of the world, what will I be benefited if God is not pleased with me? So nonetheless, because the uncle ran a cinema and he also had the habit of watching movies, he developed an abhorrence towards this and left. He then went to the Roman Catholic Church and prayed that, O God, if my life is a source of anger for you, then whenever you are pleased with me, take my life. Allah the Almighty accepted his prayers, and then he was enabled to accept Ahmadiyyat. It seems that God accepted his prayers right there and then. He says, when I finished prayer and we left, then he met a friend outside. His previous name was Joseph, so he said to him, Joseph, I had the opportunity to hear the preaching of a community and I liked it. And now I'm going to the mission house to enter that Jamaat. He said to him, that, do you wish to go with me? If so, then come with me. He said, yes. So they both went to the Kumasi mission house. There they met with the missionary. The missionary, without asking either of them who had come to do the bet, he started reading out the conditions of the bet to both. He then says that who came to do the bet. Hearing this, Yusuf Ardozi Sahib, without reservation, said that we both want to do the bet, the oath of allegiance. So he entered into Ahmadiyyat, and he was 16 years old at the time. After this, he had to face the opposition of his parents, particularly his father. However, he remained firm and steadfast upon his bet and did not fall back. In fact, later he became a mu'allim, and even before this, he did so much preaching to his father that he eventually accepted Ahmadiyyat. At 20, he graduated from Jamiat al-Mubashiri in Ghana. After this, he got married to Amina Dusi Sahiba. After accepting Ahmadiyyat, he kept on traversing and passing through stages of spirituality. At the age of 40, he became severely ill, and doctors at various times said that his leg should be amputated, as there was no other solution. In fact, some said that his illness was incurable and he would not be able to stay alive. Ultimately, the doctors became fed up of treating him, and he would put his own injection. I would see my leg and say, oh, my leg, I am a servant of God and the servant of the promised Messiah. I have to travel to different places to preach. You cannot be an obstacle in this. I have seen myself, he had a zealous passion to preach. Then Hadrat Khalif Tamzid IV sent him to the USA for treatment. The letter that Hadrat Khalif Tamzid IV wrote to the doctor was, you are fortunate that you are taking part in treating Yusuf. Do not think that Yusuf is coming to you. Consider that I have come to you myself, because Yusuf Sahib is very dear to me. Look after him so much as if you would look after me. So it was suggested that he should have 4 operations, and Dr. Habibur Rahman Sahib was to operate. After the 3rd operation, Yusuf Sahib said, I do not want to go ahead with the 4th operation. Dr. Sahib wrote to Hazrat Khalif Tamzid IV, he does not want an operation. So Hazur said that if he does not want to go ahead with the operation, that is fine, do not operate. However, Yusuf Sahib before had written to Hazrat Khalif Tamzid IV that he had seen a dream. Hazrat Khalif Tamzid IV said that if he does not want the operation, do not do it. However, Hazur said that with the grace of the Almighty Allah, I shall tell you that you will be cured. Subsequently, Allah the Almighty granted him cure. Yusuf Sahib says that I was in my room when I saw in a vision that on the wall of the room a verse is being written, and behind this an unknown voice is saying the tilawat. Inna lazina qalu rabbuna Allahu thumma istaqamu. After the tilawat, an unknown person entered the room. He sat next to him, and he put his hand over his leg, and said, Yusuf, do not worry. This illness is about to end, and you will quickly be healed. He says that he was suffering for 9 years with this illness, but so miraculously did it occur after, that until the end, there was no sign remaining of his illness. In fact, the missionary Kosar Sahib says that in 2005 he met me in Qadian because he had seen his condition in the US. He then jumped and said, "Look, my leg is completely fine. There is no ill effect." He had received the indication from God that he would pass away at the age of 63. When he was about to turn 63, he gathered his children and he read the Quranic verse. كنتم شهداء إذ حضر يعقوب الموت إذ قال لبنيه ما تعبدون من بعدي. He gathered his children and said, "Which God will you worship after me?" And I ask all of you, just as Jacob asked, "Which God will you worship?" They said, "We will worship God." He said, "My life is before you. I have spent my entire life dedicated and devoted to Jamaat. Now death approaches, and the true inheritor will be he who is most righteous." A few days after, he said to his brother Al-Hajj Sharif, that truly when I was 63 years old, the angel of death came. But I asked for some respite, and he said that some respite will be given. He further said that although the angel did not inform of him of anything specifically, but he said that he felt that he would be given respite to the age of 70. When Mulana Wahab Sahib passed away, then he would say that my turn is fast approaching. The sincere people of Ghana are departing. Pray that Allah the Almighty grants even more devoted people than these. He came this year for the Jalsa. He was somewhat ill. I also sent him to some doctors here for treatment. But he quickly wanted to return. So the doctors also said that the treatment could be continued in Ghana. Hazrat Khalif Tamsi IV, once here in the UK during his Jalsa address, called Yusuf Sahib. He put his hand on him on the stage and said, "Yusuf, I know that you do not like for me to mention your good acts before everyone, but your actions have been manifested themselves, and I wish to tell the Jamaat that you are a very pious and righteous person." During this time, he was continuously weeping with emotions. On my first visit to Ghana in 2004, there also, with the grace of the Almighty Allah, he was at the forefront of financial sacrifices. He developed a medicine, as far as I remember, which was marketed greatly, and he would receive a lot of profit through it. He constructed a lot of mosques, approximately 40 to 45 in Ghana as a result, which are very good mosques and very large and spacious mosques. Similarly, there are Tabligh centers which he built. At the time, he showed me that there was a Tabligh center which he had constructed. And at the time, I said to him that you should also give others an opportunity to serve. You continuously receive the blessings yourself. So he said very humbly, "Allah the Almighty is giving me this capacity and I'll continue until I receive that blessing." He was very simple, sincere, devout, righteous, open-hearted, munificent, generous, high-moraled. He was confirmed with many visions, he performed the tahajjud, and he loved Khilafat greatly. In matters of food, he would always not waste anything. If he ever saw a lot of wastage of food at home, one day he saw this, he wept profusely in the prayer. When he asked that Allah the Almighty provides us with so many provisions, yet we waste it, how will we answer to God? One of his sons is Hafiz Ismail Odissi, who is a student of the Shahid course at the Jamia Ahmadiyya, the 7-year course. He says, "After completing the hifz of the Holy Quran, I returned home, and my father would greatly respect me. Once I did something which he was displeased with." So Yusuf Sahib said to his son, "I cannot tell you out of respect of the Quran that you have memorized, but you too should try and not do such things out of the respect of the Quran." His son said that as his father told him off, its effect would not have been as deep as the impact of what he said. "My mother and my father gave me moral upbringing that I would become a missionary. So whenever I asked for money, they would give me little and would say that you are going to become a missionary. And every missionary should get by on a small amount and should desist from extravagance." He would draw attention towards minute points. Once I was doing wudu with him. He had done Vadu before me, and then he said, Hafiz Sahib, you are to become a missionary. Missionaries will have many responsibilities. They have less time, so you should get into the habit of doing a lot of work in less time. So he was a role model for missionaries, as I said. He used to do extraordinary amount of preaching, and he had a great passion to do so. And he also had great amount of simplicity. As I said, Allah the Almighty granted him affluence as well. He spent this on the Jamaat, and he built mosques through it. His last journey was also towards the construction of a mosque. He also had great affection for the Holy Quran. He was unable to translate the Holy Quran into one of the local languages of Ghana. In financial sacrifices, he was undoubtedly at the forefront. Wahab Adam Sahib's son has also written about this. In any case, he was an extraordinary person, and he had exceptional dedication for the movement and passion to serve. He leaves behind his wife and 3 sons and 5 daughters. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, all have a strong connection with the Jamaat and Khilafat and have great dedication and fidelity. One of his daughters, Fatiha Sahiba, is the head teacher of the International Taleem al-Islam School in Accra. The youngest son is in the 3rd year, student at International Jamia. May Allah the Almighty elevate the rank of the deceased and continue to increase his children and progeny in sincerity, devotion and loyalty. As I said, after the Friday prayer, his funeral prayer in absentia will be led.
Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله ان الله يامر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله